This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, "Hey, man." We are live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios up here at Flowery Branch. We had a great conversation with Coach Raheem Morse. You're going to hear that coming up in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned, guys, and we're going to head to Texas. Lots of discussion today about this matchup. I got a guy mad at me, Mike. Maybe you should go back to Texas. Did that already. Bottom line is a lot of fans upset with the fact that the Dogs are now a five and a half point underdog heading into this game. It was 3.5. Rusty Manziel's right. This is the sharps. There's some big money being put in on Texas right. That moves a number like this. We're going to talk more about it with Blake Monroe, who is a host for Texas football. But bottom line is, guys, we said it. Statistically, they're a good team. Dogs can beat them, but they've got to play a clean game, and they got to play a complete game.
Right. And, guys, Georgia, we know what they're capable of. We've seen it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, the injuries to the defense, we'll dive into it. But there was a game plan, but Connor said they got to play a complete game. Connor Riley, I really do think they need to be near letter perfect in this one.
I'm with you, brother. I am. All right, more with Blake coming up a little bit later on. Mike, Raheem Morris, today in our interview, and you'll hear it, in 10 minutes. Anything jump out at you as far as where we're at with this football team, what's going on?
Yeah, not that he'd ever sit there and be like, fold his arms and go, well, we're pretty satisfied. But they are trending in all the areas in the right direction. He did talk about, and it wasn't like he was making excuses. There would have been a sack for Arnold Ebiketie, but there was a holding penalty. He accepted it. That negated the holding penalty. The sack on the record books, I should say. But that's just smart football. But as he knows, and we talked about it on and off the air, there was some really – they had Andy Dalton dead to rights on numerous occasions, just could not wrap him up. But he knows that it's got to get better, but he does feel that they are certainly getting the contact and the hits. But again, just like those old arguments we used to have with Mike Smith, it's just he knows as a defensive coach, they've got to get him on the ground.
No doubt about it. The other things Raheem was talking about today, ironically, was Drake London. When asked about, hey, are we trying to do things differently with Drake? I want you to hear his response, because he was talking about Drake London and his role and how they try to use him. Again, if you want to break down football terms, X, Y, Z, listen, guys, he does all of that, and they line him up in different places. But this is how Raheem explained, hopefully, what they're trying to do with Drake London.
I think part of the original thought and the original reasons is giving him that Puka-like role that we had like in L.A. Puka's a part of the Z, and then obviously those guys become interchangeable with some of the F position and some of those type of things. So, like, getting them inside, some of the things that you guys have mentioned before, having them on the outside, doing some of the, like, Puka-type roles that we showed in L.A. that Zach Robinson is very familiar with, and some of the staff guys that came from there and all that type of stuff. So that was very intentional by our staff when we got here. That move was made pretty much right away. And then that just entails some of the things that we do in our run game. No different than, all those guys. Cooper Kupp has a lot of influence on the L.A. run game, so did Puka Nacua. And then obviously Drake has a lot of influence on our run game.
Now, you could argue that they may have already been doing that. And again, Puka Nacua, not Puka Beads, Carl, but Puka Nacua-like stuff. And that was something that, as we said, there's going to be influences from the Rams offense. I think that's why we were kind of waiting to see that early on. But one thing we brought up, I mentioned to Coach, every week the point total has gone up. And now to the point where we're scoring the most points we have in this last win against Carolina. But, I think you've got a dynamic weapon who does everything they're asking him to do in the run blocking. Didn't really talk much about Pitts today in particular. But you've got some guys. I'm curious when you asked him the question about would you maybe pursue trading for some edge rush, he didn't commit that. Basically that's Terry's department, and I handle football. I'm not going to run upstairs and go get me an edge rusher. But yeah, I do think based on what Terry's done, knowing he's got it's one thing when you have a team which isn't going anywhere. When you got a team which you expect to go someplace. I think maybe Terry does kick the tires on something and use some draft picks and let's get into it, right? If you feel you got a window of 2 years with Kirk Cousins, let's go get an edge rusher.
I agree. And it's funny because we're reading these reports, right, that the Lions are checking in on Hassan Reddick and the situation. You talked about the circumstances of trading him to an NFC team
right.
And the results or the consequences of that. At the end of the day, here's what I think. If they can't get a deal done, Drew Rosenhaus, with the Jets – Hassan Reddick's going to want to try to recoup some of this money he's lost for whatever reason he set out this year. And, Mike, they're going to trade him somewhere. I mean, he's not going to not play football for the next 3 years because they can't trade him.
Because he's losing money. I mean, he's going to basically be a completely lost season.
So he's going to, at some point, they will force the Jets' hand and say, we can't get a deal done with you guys. We want to play football. Let's move him somewhere. Where that is, I don't know right now. But every team that is in need is checking in. I think we've probably checked in. I really do. I think there's no reason to not make that phone call and say, what would it take? That becomes the question. And now here's my thing. If you're willing to pay him, and you're willing to know that he's got a long or wants a long-term commitment here, then I'm all for it.
Right.
But even with Judon, remember, he came in and said, they don't owe me nothing.
Right.
Let me earn it. Mike, we could walk away from this thing, and if we don't necessarily want to extend Judon, they don't necessarily have to do that. I need to know what his commitment is before we were to go all in on this, but there are other teams that are interested.
One of the things I think we mentioned at the end of the show yesterday, I know you've always liked Yannick Ngakoue's his style. He had been sitting there on that Ravens practice squad, and you could have picked him. You know, you got to play him. You got to use him. You got to put him on your roster. But the Ravens activated him to their active roster. So maybe it would be somebody, maybe not an A-lister at this stage of his career, perhaps. But
sure.
Somebody to go after. I just, you know, and we did mention for guys who missed the interview, Carl said you'll hear it coming up here in just a bit, is I asked him about Braylon Trice. Hear what Coach has to say about that on the way, because we've had high impact. We're going to be a very impactful player, high hopes for him in this preseason.
Totally agree. Let's hear more from Rod talking about Drake studying the Rams receivers. Again, we're talking about how do we expand this offense. You know, Zach Robinson said, Mike mentioned it, I got more plays. I got stuff I want to run. Okay, how do we get to some of that stuff that maybe we haven't seen? Here's a coach talking about Drake studying the Rams receivers and trying to incorporate some of that.
I think you naturally do that when you come in with some different plays and you kind of showing cut-ups of players, you know, so they kind of watched a bunch of the Rams offense. Obviously, there's stuff that we put in from the Rams offense and things that we wanted to implement that we wanted to carry over, along with the things that we wanted to add here and some of the things that we wanted to put in that they did really good here as well, because you still have people in the building that were able to talk about some of those things, like a T.J. Yates and Dwayne Leford and all those things. So, you know, all that stuff was a part of it.
Yeah, but guys, it shouldn't surprise anybody. Again, you want to be the best, you study. You study what other teams are doing. You study what they're trying to do. If there's another wide receiver in the league, Mike, that does what I do, or they're running similar things, I want to see how he's doing it. It only makes you better. It doesn't mean that it's a copycat league, and as far as we're going to do everything exactly like the Rams, I just feel like they're saying this is another element we want to add.
Right, and that's why, you know, the Pitts conversation came up this summer with you and I. Said they didn't really have a guy like Pitts. Higbee wasn't like that, you know, with their tight end. Pitts is a different kind of guy, and does he fit the way this offense is going to run? We saw some glimpses. He had a big catch against Carolina. We already talked about whether it was a misread. I think the verdict now, finally, after we talked to Dave Archer off the air, it seems like it was basically a split the difference. Maybe Kirk was expecting something else and Pitts was expecting something else. So I don't want to say he quit on it, although certainly Mark Sanchez felt that way from his position on TV.
But I felt like miscommunication. That's what I said. This is where Pitts has to look at Kirk and say, okay, I see what you see. We're on the same page. I don't know if that happened. And then Kirk's got to know that you're going to cut this short or you're going to take it long. I mean, I think that's just communication.
My beef, and this is where, you know, I get sideways with some Falcon fans, where you can't criticize Pitts because it's become like their sacred cow, is I've seen enough of him do that in other plays where he does loaf or he does not finish or make a quick cut or not complete what he's supposed to be doing. Not saying that it's an epidemic level, but it does happen from time to time. That's where I think Zach will makes those comments about being more detail-oriented. Real quick, injury information. I know it's only Wednesday, Carl. Gave Bijan a day off for rest because he did a lot of work.
All right.
Judon, a day of rest. Antonio Hamilton with a back issue. Landman was limited with a quad and a calf. Lorenzo Carter, sick as a dog, apparently. He's got an illness. Justin Simmons got an aching hamstring. That's something to watch because we're going to deal with Metcalf and those big receivers. Troy Anderson out with a knee today.
All right, guys. Once again, it's Dukes and Bell. We are live at Flowery Branch. You're going to get a chance to hear from Coach coming up as he stopped by and sat down with Mike and I to talk about all the things that are going on with our football team. And as always, this hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Mike mentioned it earlier, guys. We are going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings next Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. And a reminder.
Perimeter Mall location.
Yeah, and that's a killer spot. I mean, it's got the balcony. It's great. If you can't stop in, order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go and pick them up on your way home tonight. All right? Tonight. Or before your next event. All right, we're coming back. Coach Roz next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Raheem Morris joining us here in the Ticketmaster Studios, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. So, were you guys mad at halftime? Because I was a little mad at halftime. I felt like we should have been up more. I was like, well, were you guys upset?
No. So, I can't say you guys. It was people mad. There were people mad about certain things. Right. But for me, no. It's more about poise at that moment. So, like, when you go in at halftime, like, this league, this is a tough league. Like, it's very hard to win in. Right, so what you were mad at, upset about, that you didn't finish the half the right way. Because realistically, with that second quarter, it was going exactly how you would like it to go and what you want to happen. And then you give them the ball back with no timeouts. You got to get a stop, going to the halftime, come out, have the ball, and then put yourself right in position to go out and close the game out. But we gave them life. We gave them a little bit of a resuscitation at the end of the half, let them go down there and score. When you had a chance, really 9 out of 10 times where you could see Clark pick that ball off, and we did not. Right, and we had other opportunities within that drive. So, like, for me, it was less about anger. It was more about regaining the guy's poise, right? Because sometimes when you're a football team and you're learning how to win, you have to figure out how to close those moments. And that was one of the moments we failed at, and that was one of the first times we failed at this year, in a closing moment. You know what I mean? Because we've had the Tampa game. We've had New Orleans. We've had Philly. We've had all these moments where we've closed it and felt what it felt like and felt that exuberation of joy from a fan standpoint, from a coach standpoint, that when I got into the locker room, I knew that was a great time for poise.
Right. Yeah, and the big difference, 22-10, if you don't give up that that scoring drive. And Coach Ra's with us, the edge rush, and I know that we've checked all the boxes. Like, what's up with Cousins? He looks fine. Where's up with Pitts? Pitts is a bigger part of the offense. And now we're harping on the edge rush. Let me ask you this. We saw Ebba Cady get 6 sacks last year. Does he fit Jimmy? Is it things he needs to do differently, or how Jimmy likes using him? Because we love what we got with Judon, but where are we not getting, I guess, the other bookend to come and get the quarterback?
Well, I actually stole the sack from Ebba Cady this week. You know, he actually had a sack on the 2nd and 10. The guy walked out of bounds, and he touched him. I took the penalty. Didn't know it was a sack at the time. Ended up being 2nd and 20, which is the smart thing to do, but then you go back, you're like, oh! I took a sack from him. So AK has actually been one of our better pass rushers this year, and what he's been able to do, and he's been kind of playing sparingly, and he's got more and more play time as we go, to now he's one of the lead dog guys to go out there with Matthew Judon and try to get after the quarterback, especially in pass rush situation. So we got to get more opportunities for him to do that. You know, and last game we had, I believe it was 13 hits. I think this is a PFF grade, but, you know, I forget the exact number right now because we're almost a week removed. But we had 13 hits. We had 3 hits on it. We had 3 hits on a quarterback and 13 rushes and hurries, or whatever you want to call it. So we actually did a better job of rushing the passer. We just didn't finish it, right? We fell off one for a 20-yard scramble. I took away a sack with the 2nd and 10, taking a penalty and making it 2nd and 20, which I didn't know at the time. And then actually we hit the quarterback a couple other times, and we couldn't get him to the ground. And we got to finish those deals off in order to become a really good pass rush. And, like, hey, man, like, I'm all about that. That's going to be a focus point. And, like, you got to embrace talking about it, especially in these moments with you guys, because, like, I've done nothing but tell you guys the truth, right? We got to get better in that area. That's something that we got to focus on. AK's got to be more of a focal part of that, and we got to go out there and get those things done.
Yeah, the good part is we continue to win, and we're finding ways to get it done. The 2 turnovers were huge. Clark and AJ, I mean, all those things play a role. Coach Ra, today you were talking about, and I'm curious to know, I guess, why we're discussing changing London's designation with Drake, and I'm like, that's how it was explained to me. But what are we talking about here with Drake London?
What do you mean, changing his designation?
Well, I guess for the X, the Z, the Y, we use Drake in so many different ways. Is there something new here?
Well, with our offense, we can move around just about anywhere we want to move him, right? And, like, within the structure of the offense, let's call him a Z.
Okay.
Right? So he's our Z. Like, he had, when he got here, I think he was starting off playing X in the other offense that he played in with Arthur Smith. He was playing the X. We got here immediately and put him at Z. We wanted to be our Z. We wanted to have that Puka Nacua, you know, that Cooper Kupp, that interchangeable piece type of deal that you can do with him. And he's playing a lot more for us inside what some people would call as an F. So we're moving around, making him a focal point, making it harder for defense to key on him. And we're doing that with all our guys. And when you have a guy you want to do that with, it puts pressure on the other guys. And luckily we got a smart guy in Mooney, a smart guy in Ray Ray, obviously a smart guy in Cordero coming in, being they play all 3. And those guys can move around and do different things for us. And I was trying to explain, we were talking about it, you know, from coaching staff. You get in there, you really give these guys grade, and you're like talking, like, hey, man, if we can just get a little bit more out of from Drake in this area. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, he's at the focal point of the run game a lot of the time.
Great run blocker.
He's 1, 2, 3.
Right. True.
It's somewhere in that, when we talk about the passing downs.
Right.
So, you know, for him, like, sometimes more could be less. You know, and, like, it's like finding ways to get more out of him. But maybe for us a little bit, it's like, hey, what can we take off his plate a little bit so we can get more in this area? But, again, he's a great player. You want to clone those guys, right? And we got a bunch of guys like that. And I'm just happy to have interchangeable pieces like that.
Coach Roz with us here, guys, live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. And we said to start the season, just like when you were a rookie coach in Tampa, there's a learning curve for everybody. I just think as a fan, to watch the points go up every week, and it seems like Zach Robinson, he's talked about it. He goes, oh, I got all sorts of plays I want to dial up. Just need more, obviously get more reps to get it going. How satisfied are you with the evolution of the offense?
I don't even want to call it an evolution, right? I just think every single week you got to have a growth mindset. And it's like just same thing we talked about with the pass rush. I think you come in and you improve certain things that you want to improve every single week. From the first week, it was protection. Right, TJ came in, like, got after us, and they had a nice pass rush, and they were on the cadence and wanted to fix protection, number one. Next was, you know, what it was third down at one point we talked about, and it's the growth mindset of getting those things together. And I think when you do those things, you got to add on. You can't fall off while you're fixing something else. So it's like the addition of the growth mindset that the whole team has, the offense has, the defense has, in order to get better and better every single week. And no different than the defense, right? The growth mindset of what we have in second halves of defenses right now, to close out games, to be finishers, making that a part of their identity, you have to say that, it's been outstanding, and it's like something that I love.
Yeah, listen, we're getting off the field and we need to. There's no doubt. I know that the sacks are a concern for a lot of fans, and that's going to come. Coach Raheem Morris brought to you by MD Anderson University of Texas Cancer Center. Coach Ra, as we talk about ways to win, right, we ran the ball down their throat last week. Week before, we saw our quarterback throw for 500 yards. You've been on Super Bowl teams. You've been around Super Bowl caliber teams. Where is this team right now when you look at the makeup and the versatility of what we've seen through 6 weeks? By no means am I going to say we're a Super Bowl team, but you've been around those kind of teams. What are you seeing with us?
We're in a good place. You know, you're 4-2. You're tied for leading the division. You got the tiebreaker right now to put you on top. And you got to keep winning because you can control your own destiny. Right. The thing about this league is the only thing you can ask for, especially this early in the season, is to have the pen. And we got the pen, so we can write the story. So, like, that's the things you want for. The hard part in this league is when you're chasing. Right. And right now we got the pen and we got to continue to write our story. Right. But the only way you can do that is go through your process, go to practice, get to the games, find ways to win, and continue that growth mindset that we're talking about. So, like, that's where we're at. Right. If you start thinking about things that are out of your control or out of your grasp at this moment, you lose sight on what's the most important thing, and the most important thing is this Sunday.
The next matchup is Seattle, and we know that you know, Geno's had a great resurgence out there, and we see that certainly you got to find a way to try to keep him from moving around too much. Yeah. But I'm not going to bore you with the stats, you probably know it already, but it looks like we may have some success running the ball against those guys. Just based on what the numbers say.
You know, again, every week's a different deal. You know, like their coaches are saying the same thing. Right. They're having a growth mindset in their run game and what they're going to do and how they're going to stop us. They had the extra days come off a Thursday night game. And, you know, we got to go out there and prepare to exploit what we can. And we got to go out there and prepare what we can take advantage of when they give it to us. And then sometimes you got to take what they give you. And that's what we've done the last couple of weeks, have been taking what people have given us. And it's worked out well for us.
You've coached wide receivers. You've coached great wide receivers. Metcalf's a big dude. How do we try to defend him? I know teams are doing different things, but just his physical stature allows him to do some different things on the field, right?
You know, I'm really excited about that matchup with him and AJ and watching those guys go out there and compete. Like, that, AJ has one of the toughest jobs on the team every single week, right? You go out
right
first week of the season, you got Pickens. Next week of the season, you got this guy. Then you got Deontay Johnson last week. And you're going to go out there and you're going to match that guy up with those guys that we know how much money they make.
right.
Every single week. And they don't make that money by mistake. They make it because they earn it. And he has to go out there and play. And they're going to make catches. They're going to have receptions. And you got to keep fighting. And the one thing we know about AJ, he's a fighter. He's going to go out there no matter what and keep going. And no better example than what he did last week, right? Standing in the fight, covering Deontay, and then at the end, boom, steps in front of the last minute and gets a pick.
I know one thing about Metcalf, because I know this drives coaches crazy. Players hate when we talk fantasy football. Carl, he does fumble a lot. And I know because we've got some safeties that love to
strip him.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, if ever there's, I mean, it plays in some of the things we like to do. And again, seeing A.J. Terrell and seeing Clark Phillips get some turnovers, and we've been waiting to see, literally waiting years to see A.J. get a pick, that's got to make you feel good, too.
No, it's awesome, you know, but like, you know, the reason he has the fumbles, obviously he plays hard. And
right.
He plays
driving with the extra yard.
He plays with extra effort, and he plays that way, and that's how he's always been. And, like, it's our job to still go try to force those turnovers on everybody, not just one man, but, like, as many as we can get the ball back to our offense to create short fields.
What about the run defense? I know, and I guess if we were to ask you, what are our concerns as Falcon fans? Is it finishing, which you've talked about, and maybe better run defense? Are those two things that we could focus on, or at least say, hey, those are things that we feel like we need to improve on?
So how many yards did they get last week, about?
Well, Hubbard had 92, but yes, they ran for 114.
So they had the 92 yards with Hubbard, and they really got a lot of it in the second half when they were moving the ball down the field, and we hold up and held them to three.
Right.
Right. We got better in our run defense just by holding them off and stopping some of those things. We let a couple out leaky yardage there late, and we got to eliminate those. The 20-yard scramble can't happen. And if that doesn't happen, we're not at the 100 mark. We're somewhere in the 90s, and you're feeling better about the improvement on what you're doing every single week. So every single week, we've improved in those things. Our off-the-linebacker play, Nate Lamon coming back, all of those type of things up front. We're able to do some different things and how we want to play it, how we want to not give away some gaps and be more gap sound, some of those things. So those are all part of the growth mindset. So I feel really good about where we're going and what we can do to improve that as well.
I know when we talk about the defense, we already covered, like, after the quarterback, the blitz thing. Is that just basically through feel, or do you design a game plan going into the week where we're going to be a little more blitz-centric this game?
Well, you know, it just depends on the game. We've had games out there where we were way more blitz-centric, to steal your word. And then there's been other games where, like last week, we kind of set back and we made them go the long way. And that was kind of the philosophy last week and what we did, particularly later in the down. Open up a couple more run gaps for you to do it when you're playing with two high safeties. But, you know, hey, you got to go find ways to win each week, and our guys are doing that.
Raheem Morris with this guy's weekly visit with head coach Raheem Morris with the Atlanta Falcons. Coach, any plans with Terry and this team to look to improve edge rush? We've seen teams last couple of days make moves. There seems to be more action around the league than in years past where teams are making trades. But for you and Terry, the front office, are you looking to improve the edge rush?
I think Terry is as crazy as you guys know. So he's constantly devouring rosters, constantly looking to improve, constantly looking to do things. So nothing would shock me when it comes to Terry, Ryan Pace, Kyle Smith, and those guys getting together and figuring out something else and making moves. We were talking about this, you know, in the beginning of the season. Matthew Judon showed up, Justin Simmons showed up, because they're obsessed. And when you're obsessed with football and getting better and doing the right things, that's an awesome quality to have in the business. So nothing would shock me.
Right.
And my job, obviously, right now is to find ways to win football games. And then to field questions when they come, or field phone calls, so to speak, when they come, and talk about it and explore. And obviously, our guys, I got the utmost confidence in those guys.
So, real quick follow-up. So they would bring you the information, not you necessarily pressing them for it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to go out looking for it. My job right now is locked and loaded, ready to go. You know, I don't have time to talk to different GMs. And
yeah, I know you got to get back to work. Just as a follow-up, we had high hopes just from practice. Just from a fan standpoint, it looked like Braylon Trice was going to be something special.
Sure.
It will be something special.
Sure.
Did you feel that at camp this year, that maybe he was going to be a bigger contributor and would be doing some of the things you need right now?
I was excited. I kind of alluded to it last week when I talked about that interior people taking a little bit longer. And Trice was more ready-made, probably more ready-made to go right away. And obviously, he got the unfortunate injury. And it's great to have him back in the building and training and doing all the things he's doing with us right now. But I really look forward to him getting back and being a contributor for us.
Coach, what do we need to do to get a dub on Sunday? I mean, listen, third downs were a concern. They're not, right? They weren't. We're moving the ball in various ways. Run game was off the hook. We got turnovers. These are things that are building. We've done this the last few weeks. What do we need to do against Seattle?
You know, for us, you got to go out there and stop the run. They got a really good running back in Kenneth Walker. Got a lot of respect for him. They got Charbonnet out there as well. And we can't let them get that run game established, right? And that's what you got to go out there and stop. These guys have moved the ball in tempo and got to control the tempo. They got on the ball, getting the calls from the sideline, like you kind of seen in college ball with Ryan Grubbs, moving a bunch of yardage, right? So we got to go out there and limit those things. We got to continue to get turnovers. On offense, we got to go out there and continue to move the chains on third down, keep those guys off the field, win the time of possession game, which we've done the last couple of weeks, and find a way to win. And then, like, on special teams, we've been opportunistic. And, like, it's been fun to watch our special teams go out there and play because they're exciting. you know, blocking a punt or whatever you call it when it tips and goes that way.
Right.
That's a block punt in my book, but
yeah,
whatever you want to call that, it's like those guys have been exciting. I mean, we got a touchdown. We got two touchdowns on special teams. We have block kicks. We have, you know, forced missed kicks. We got a bunch of exciting things on special teams, so it's fun to watch those guys play.
All right, Coach. We appreciate it. And by the way, for those, we told our listeners, because you mentioned it, Michael Penix is helping us prepare for this week.
Because it's a secret sauce.
Because he's familiar with their OC.
He changed the card today on his own. He just looked at us on the card team and said, that is not it. This is how this goes.
Awesome. Right, well, good luck. Let's go get another one, guys. It's three in a row for our Falcons. Three division wins. We got to get Seattle on Sunday. All right? Coach, thanks so much.
Yeah, man, our conversation earlier with Coach Ra and Carl, certainly things are going in the right direction, but Seattle does present another set of problems for us to figure out.
They do, and it's the NFL, man. We hopefully can get after these guys. I want to put some pressure on them, Mike. Make Geno have to throw it a lot more than they even are right now, and he will throw it to us. We're coming back. We're going to head to Texas. Blake Monroe, he's a host for Texas football. Mike, we'll find out what the Longhorns are thinking heading into Saturday's matchup coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Curious choice on a hump day.
Well, yeah. It's true. We do work hard for the money. Let's talk to Blake Monroe, host for Texas football. We got to get some insight here. And, Blake, it's good to have you on the show. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're bringing you all the different angles as this is going to be a top five matchup in Austin. Austin is going to be buzzing. I want to ask you about this defense. Number one in the nation in total defense and scoring defense. That is where I think a lot of people underestimate Texas. Talk about the personnel and why you think this defense has been so good.
Yeah, man. In fact, I just tweeted out before I got on the show here, Texas right now with an 87.1% stop rate, which means their opponents are, you know, 87.1% of their drives are resulting in 0 points. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And really, I think it comes down to the defensive line play more than anything. Linebacker play has also been great. I guess the whole front seven, you could say, but they're applying pressure. They're getting to the quarterback, great pass rushers, especially young Colin Simmons. They're putting him in what they call their NASCAR package, and just kind of letting him get to the quarterback as quickly as possible. But I mean, it's not just him. Guys like Alfred Collins, Baron Sorrell, Vernon Broughton is a guy that's made himself a lot of money, the defensive tackle this year, in my opinion. He's really improved. Ethan Burke. So, you know, you take them with Anthony Hill, Leona LaFau is another linebacker that Texas has seen really come on strong these last couple of games. And then, you know, you mix that with a pretty dang good secondary, and you got a recipe for success there.
Speaking of the secondary, Blake, talk about the Georgia Bulldogs really airing it out. I didn't like the game plan against Alabama. They kind of got into a shooting match. But Carson Beck's throwing for like 400 yards every time out. How is the Texas secondary, because this is arguably the best pass, I mean, hands down, the best passing offense the Longhorns have seen all season. How are they going to do it?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I don't think there's any denying that. The bad news for Texas, last week they lost one of their major contributors, Derek Williams, young safety. He's out for the year. So, you know, that was definitely one of the bad outcomes of last weekend. But honestly, I think the biggest question is guys like Jahdae Barron, Jalen Gilbo, even, you know, Malik Muhammad, are they going to be quick enough to keep up with Georgia's wide receivers? And I wouldn't, and Longhorn fans aren't going to want to hear this, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone gets burnt over the top. I mean, Georgia has a lot of speed. We haven't really seen it much this year, if at all. But as you said, Georgia with a great offense and definitely going to be their toughest test of the season up to this point.
No doubt about it. We're talking with Blake Monroe, host for Texas football, as we talk about this big matchup on Saturday. You know, Sark and certainly Kirby Smart know each other. They both at different times were at Bama and worked under Saban. And I'm curious, you know, I've talked about this here, how Sark has brought that SEC mentality to Texas even before Texas joined the SEC. Talk a little bit about that and the recruiting aspect of it and how he's tried to build this team.
Yeah, I mean, for the longest, especially under Tom Herman, you know, who was the coach before Sark, it seemed like line play, specifically offensive line play, wasn't really, you know, something that they focus on. I mean, obviously they recruited players there, but Sark, since he's came in and just basically rebuilt that entire line on both sides of the ball. As you said, even going back before SEC play in the Big 12, they had, you know, the biggest offensive defensive lines. And, I mean, that to me, that has been the most refreshing change out of all of it. you know, big guys there, athletic guys, big humans, like Kyle Flood likes to say, the offensive line coach. And I think that's helped Texas more than anything.
I forget the writer that we had on a few weeks ago was talking about being up at Michigan, and was talking about you know, the players that they've seen come in. They said, man, should have seen Texas. So to obviously to jive with your point, man, they do have some dudes, man. The recruiting's been insane. Talking with Blake Monroe, guys. It's Blake Monroe, OTF, on Twitter, too, by the way. the vibe, you know, it's Formula One week, and I've been in Austin for F1, never been to a game at Darrell Royal Stadium. But what is the energy like? How much hype is like this right now in the capital city?
Oh man, it's excitement is through the roof. I was actually thinking a little bit earlier today, you know, what's been the most recent game that's had this much hype around it? Especially, you know, College Game Day is going to be there. I mean, F1, as you said. So it's just a huge weekend in Austin in general. And I know Alabama was here a couple of years ago, but I would say it's even bigger than that. I was thinking back probably 2006 against Ohio State when they were ranked number one, and I believe Texas number two at the time, is going to be the last time that it was, you know, just this much hype, a game of this magnitude for the Longhorns.
Yeah, I was at that game. Texas lost. I totally agree with you as far as the hype surrounding it. All right, so let's talk about Quinn Ewers, because here's the elephant in the room, right? He looked a little rusty last week, and then he got things going. So what can we expect this week trying to, you know, move the ball against this Georgia defense, which has been vulnerable? At least it was last week against Miss State, but there have been times. We saw it against Alabama. I don't know how Sark attempts to attack Georgia, but tell me about yours and what you think.
Yeah, so as you said, he came back last week, you know, fresh off injury. Arch Manning had been filling in. And, I mean, honestly, you look at he was rusty, definitely rusty. Went 20 of 29 for 199 yards. Touchdown and interception, and then a touchdown on the ground as well, which is pretty good, but not the Quinn Ewers that Texas fans, you know, saw at the beginning of the year. And I really think that's what this game is going to come down to, is quarterback play for both teams. But is Ewers going to look like he did last week against Oklahoma, or is he going to look like he did against Michigan, where he's just lights out, you know, in normal form that Texas fans got to see those first few weeks? So we'll have to see what happens. I mean, you hope that he shakes that rust off against OU and, you know, he gets back into that. But, hey, you never know. We'll have to see. But I definitely think that, and then, you know, the line play is going to be the two keys to this game for sure.
Wrapping up with the Blake Monroe guys talking about the Texas Longhorns. If you were Mike Bobo and you were calling the Georgia game plan, how would you attack that Texas defense? Would you run the ball, set up play action? I know that sounds like oversimplification. How would you play it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you kind of nailed it there, and I alluded to it a little bit ago. Georgia with their fast wide receivers, I really do feel like Texas DBs are going to be tested. You know, get them biting on some play action, burn them over the top. I mean, that would definitely be my game plan, because, you know, Texas has faced some decent opponents for sure, but not the athleticism, not the speed that Georgia is going to be bringing to the table on Saturday.
Totally agree. It should be a great game. And, Blake, we look forward to it, man. Appreciate you stopping by, talking a little bit about this game and the hype surrounding it. Take care, man, and we appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Absolutely.
And hey, with the playoffs, we may talk to them again.
Well, that's what's crazy. Right? They should both be in the playoffs. Hey, this hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, and Mike and I are going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings on Monday, guys. Perimeter location. It's a killer spot. We're going to be out there. We're going to have giveaways, a lot of stuff going on. We invite you guys to come out and hang out with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll tell you more as the week goes on. Order Buffalo Wild Wings or go pick it up on your way home or for your next event. We're coming back. 6 o'clock hour straight ahead. What did Jake Matthews say about how long he wants to play? Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.